Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with bonkers.ie, Ireland's favourite comparison and switching website. Visit bonkers.ie today and start saving on your household bills.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Dinks.
Hold on, there we are. Yes, Joe at RT.e. From a funeral that turned out to be a joyous occasion to a wedding, and I'm sure it was joyous, but had sad overtones. Rachel, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Joe. Sorry, I was just emotional there listening to those stories. It was very touching.
Incredible story. Now, you got married last Tuesday, is that correct?
That's right, yes.
Okay. And why did your mother and daughter not attend?
Because they are Jehovah's Witnesses and I am disfellowshipped, so they're not allowed permitted to have any contact with me.
Even on such a joyous occasion?
Any contact, no contact at all, be it social media or anything.
Do you want to tell me why that exists in the Jehovah's Witness community?
Because I have ceased to be a Jehovah's Witness, as far as I was disfellowshipped. I've broken the moral code, if you like. They do it out of love for me, apparently, and love for God. They must put love for God above all else, even family. And also that the hope is that I will repent of my sins and return to the religion.
And what happened? Did you do someone an injury or something?
No, I stopped going to the meetings and for a few years, and then what happened was I lost my nephew very tragically, and then within those 12 months, my friend was murdered, and my brother then died of cancer, and I decided that I needed to repent and go back to the religion. So I actually approached the elders and confessed what I'd done, because I was always taught by my father, who was an elder, that if you're sorry for your sins, you get forgiven.
And confess, what had you done?
I was living with a man I wasn't married to.
Oh, sorry, I thought you said you were.
So then, what?
What you had done was fallen in love with somebody.
Yeah, and then they rang me and gave me the ultimatum. What happened was they sort of, at first they were nice, they were like, oh yeah, you must return to Jehovah, like have a study. But then they were pressurising me to leave this man. But as they rang me to invite me to a judicial committee, I had a text from my partner saying that he'd been called to Galway urgently. And so I was trying to return the call to him. Yeah. And at the same time, my phone rang. I thought it was him, but it was an elder saying, we want to meet with you now. And I was like, I can't. Something's happened. So for the next few days, they were ringing my phone. But what happened was my partner was brought into the doctor in Galway. Like, we're 6 hours away from Galway. He had to jump on a bus. This is my ex-partner now, sorry. He went what he thought was a routine appointment. And they said to him, you have cancer. We're admitting you now, here and now, and you'll be in theatre tomorrow. So I was getting, he just texted me, I've got cancer. He was in so much shock. But then my phone was just ringing and ringing, and it was these elders. And eventually I just agreed to meet with them. And they said, right, it's the judicial committee. You know the story. You're a Jehovah's Witness. You must face. And the judicial committee is not allowed to bring anybody with you. So I was a woman on my own. It's quite a remote location I was in. Three elders questioning me. Three men, you know, and it's quite invasive. They question, like, what, you know, your private life. And they said, like, I said, like, he's got cancer. I can't walk out right now. And they just said, is he going to die? And I said, well, I don't know that. You know, any cancer is potentially fatal. And then because I wasn't willing to just walk away and leave him, they said, well, we have no choice but to disfellowship you. Which was really hard because...
Just to be clear... Did they know you were living with this man and you weren't married?
Yes, I confessed to them.
Confess what?
That because you're not allowed to have sex outside of marriage or be in a relationship or live with a man if you're not married to them.
Okay. But if that's a moral code, but their punishment seems draconian. The Catholic Church would not expel you insofar as people are expelled. People don't know whether they're in or out a lot of the time. But anyway.
But they said because, you know, the society, it looks like you're living with a man.
How did they find out?
I wasn't known in the area, so I said, can you not just leave it a few weeks till I get him through his surgery at least? But they said, no, you know, that's it, you must. So they disfellowship me. And that day I lost all my friends and my family.
And were you contacted by your family to say, listen, good luck?
What happened was the elders told me it wouldn't be announced that week for a certain reason, and so I thought I had time to get used to the idea. And then the first thing I knew was my daughter rang me, who doesn't live in this country, mm-hmm. to say, "Mom, I've heard you've been disfellowshipped. It was announced tonight or whatever. That's it. I'm cutting you off. You know the story."
Your daughter? So
I was heartbroken because...
What age was your daughter when she said this to you?
She's 26 now, so she was in her mid-20s. Please God.
Up to then... Normal mother, daughter.
Oh, no, we're very close. I mean, this is why I can't get bitter, because she's only doing what I basically taught her to believe. Like, you know, I was born as a Jehovah's Witness. She was born in. It's what she's been taught from birth.
But where is the love?
Well, you see, that's the thing. I have to, like, just try and cope with every day. They think they're doing it out of love. Love for God and love for me, that I will return and repent. But, I mean, now, last year, I met the most wonderful man, and we fell in love, and we just got married last Tuesday. And he hoped that they would come. He invited them to the wedding, because, obviously, he's a Catholic. He can't understand the whole scenario. In fact, I think he thought I was making half of it up at first. But, no, they can't let God down.
But is the God of the Jehovah Witnesses not a loving God?
Well, that's what I said to the elders on the day. I think I got a little bit angry. And I said, I can't believe a God of love would expect any person to abandon somebody in their hour of need. Which, you know, at that time my partner was very sick. And I said, no, I just can't do it. I don't want to be that person. So I don't know if I got this fellowship from my bad attitude or because I was living with a man I wasn't married to. I don't really know at this stage. I just know it was announced that they announced it in the congregation that you're no longer one of Jehovah's Witnesses and they name you. And that's it, you know. And if people see me, they have to, like, just look away.
There is a reason for naming you, and that is that you are shunned.
Yes. I mean, they deny the shunning, and that's what makes me angry, because even on their own website and in court, they've lied and said it doesn't destroy normal family relations. But it does, because what they tell each other, what they tell privately from the platform and in their own literature, you're not meant to see, the public isn't meant to see, is that, you know, we must put God first. And
I know you tell me, Rachel, you were born into Jehovah's Witnesses. But were you a devout believer?
Oh, yes, right.
Oh, were you okay?
Yeah, I mean, I started to question because the amount of child abuse that was being covered up. Mm-hmm. And they would say it was apostate lies. Because if you leave, and like now I'm speaking out, they will say it's because you're bitter, you're angry, you're liars, the media lies, it's all lies, all the child abuse, it's all exaggerated. But the more stuff that gets brushed under the carpet, the higher the carpet gets up off the ground, Joe. And eventually you trip over it, because you can't deny it's there anymore.
Yeah.
And then when you leave...
Did you come to Ireland to preach?
Yeah, I moved to Ireland in the 90s to preach.
Wow. Why?
Because that's how devout we were.
Why Ireland, sorry?
Wow. Oh, right. Well, at that time there was very few Jehovah's Witnesses in Ireland, and they've done it again now. They've sent in people from, like, England to boost the numbers and to increase the preaching, because, as you know, Ireland's such a devout Catholic country that it was hard to crack... the expression, using JW jargon now, but hard to crack through the Catholic and convert. Thank God. So I say that now, because that means a lot of children may have been protected, because that's what hurts now, is that I'm not allowed to speak out to my family and warn them of what's going on in their midst. I see, you know, I know they're giving their money to the congregation, and they're not being told that it's going to pay off child abuse victims in massive court cases, because they're told that's all lies, you know. And I just want to say something, Joe, as well. If anyone's listening that would have known me and that I would have shunned in the past, I just want to apologise to them.
You have shunned?
Yes, I've never family. Yeah. They weren't so strict in the past about family. That's why I think now it's down to information control.
And is the act of shunning an act, or is it an inaction, if you follow me?
Well,
you just stop contacting people, or you deliberately turn?
Yeah, don't answer the phone to them. Like, I've been blocked on social media. It's like silent terrorism, because the family is the nucleus of society. So if you can break down families.
But you've lost your mother, and your daughter
And there's other extended family as well, and other good friends overnight. I mean, I had very, very good friends, don't get me wrong. I miss them. Mm-hmm. I really do miss them.
And when you shunned people before, what was that act on your part?
Were
they good friends who you shunned? Or?
I don't think I ever had anyone too close. I'm trying to think now, because we're so brainwashed. Sorry, my bridesmaid, my first bridesmaid when I first got married, she was disfellowship, so I wasn't allowed to have her as a bridesmaid, and I didn't have contact with her. Thank God now we're friends again, because she has left the religion. You just do it because you're just brainwashed into being told that this is what God wants. So I just want to apologise to anyone that I would have hurt inadvertently. And I also appeal to anyone who's currently shunning their family or their children to stop, because it isn't love, it's evil. It's getting good people to do something so evil that society, you know, when you look at animals, animals don't even turn their backs on their children, you know? So to get people to do this to their own family.
Given our previous item, Rachel, do Jehovah's Witnesses believe in graveyards and graves and...
They would have a different view of it now, looking back even on my own childhood. We didn't go to graves the way... I think it was when I first moved to Ireland I realised that there was a different way of grieving to what I was taught, because we weren't encouraged to go to the graveyard. Like my own father doesn't even have a plot, he was cremated. Because we have a hope of the paradise. So there's a scripture, I think, that the quote, it says, we don't grieve as the nations do. So you're not supposed to be upset, you're supposed to be glad that they're at rest now and that you will see them in paradise. So it's a very cold, clinical sort of shut down your own grief system. Does that make sense?
It sounds like a cruel form of love. If they say it's love, it's a cruel love.
It is. But when you're in it, you don't see it that way. You think you're doing the right thing and you're pleasing God, and you're basically taught to suppress your natural emotions.
I know a lot of love can be cruel in terms of people's intent, and people don't get on with each other after a period or whatever, but this seems to be, maybe I'm wrong, this does not seem to be intentionally cruel, that you would live with somebody and marry someone who you loved, and because you did that, the teachings of Jehovah says your daughter and your mother not only cannot come to the wedding, and not go to the wedding, it's over now, not go to the wedding, but they must shun you completely.
Yeah, I mean, it's been, 4 years now? So you don't ever accept it. You come to terms with it. You go through all the different stages of grief, because, with the previous comments, it's like watching your own funeral, because you're the dead person. You're dead to them, but they don't come to grieve for you. They get the comfort, because, as far as the religion's concerned, they've lost a child now.
And how do you frame, Rachel, that your mother taught you or brought you into the world as a Jehovah's Witness? Did you bring your daughter into the world as a Jehovah's Witness?
Yeah, because, you know, it was all I knew, and I thought it was... We convinced it was the right religion.
And how do you feel now about the fact that what you taught your daughter is now being turned on you in such a cruel, cruel way?
I'm I can see now, because I've been able to get out and do my research, I can see it's just a cult, just another evil cult, and we're not allowed to speak out because, you're bitter, you're apostate. But I'm ashamed that I was ever part of it.
Okay.
But I was saying that I had good friends and I miss them, and I hope that one day they will wake up too before it's too late for them, before they lose their family.
Yeah.
And I have managed to reach out to people who are in my situation. It's not just me. You know, the people grieving, never seen their grandchildren, you know, here in Ireland.
And with social media, is there now a lot more contact among people who have been, to use that phrase, disfellowshipped?
Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting,
And as more and more come out, we get the voice to speak out. I mean, when I was first disfellowshipped, I'd never speak out. I was too afraid of the repercussions.
But now you feel you can. By the way, I hope you had a brilliant wedding. Congratulations. It was you're a week married tomorrow. congratulations. And I'm sure it was you made the most of the day.
And I had lots of family that were there supporting me.
Brilliant. And I hope yourself and your partner are wreathed in an abundance of happiness for the rest of your long, long life. And also, I hope that people will come to see that we're always taught, well, maybe it's different, that God was about love in all its imperfections. Rachel, kind regards, and thanks again, and congratulations again on your marriage, which is what I'm sorry about the other aspect of it, which is so cruel, as I say. That's Rachel. Thanks indeed. Rachel was a member of the Jehovah's Witnesses. 51551 Joe at rt.ie.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And we spoke there a few minutes ago to Rachel about cruel love. She's a Jehovah's Witness and was disfellowshipped. She was shunned, including by her mother and her sister. Don't speak, don't talk. Didn't come to her wedding last week because she was living with somebody and they weren't married. Elizabeth, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
Good. And it was a priest who admonished you. What happened, Elizabeth?
It was. My daughter was making her communion. I was married, but I'd left my husband. Mm-hmm. And I went, it was a month or so before her communion, so I went to the church.
Yeah.
I went to the confessional box and I asked the priest, I told him what had happened, and I asked him for forgiveness. And could I have communion with my daughter on her communion day.
Okay.
And he told me no. He told me to go home. Was my parents alive? He told me to go home to my mother and father.
Yeah.
And there was no place for me in the church while I continued on with this man. He told me no way was I to go near the sacraments.
Yeah.
There was no place for me in the church.
And
so I was absolutely devastated.
And why were you minded, Elizabeth, to go and confess to the priest that your marriage had broken up and you had met someone else?
Because I loved my church. I loved my mass. My children went to mass. And I loved my faith.
Okay.
And I got something from my faith. But I was told no way was I to go near the altar. So my daughter made her communion, and I couldn't go to the altar with her. And I was just shunned by the Catholic Church. I loved my prayers. I wasn't holy now, but I believed God. I believed in my faith. I believed there was a God above in the heaven. But after that, I just couldn't. I was very angry. I remember years later going to another confessional box and telling the priest, and he told me to do what my conscience thought. So I lost it when I realised that no, God would shun me as well, that I wasn't part of the church anymore.
So. Don't deprive him, but your marriage broke up. You met someone else.
Yes,
and my daughter was
making her communion, and I brought them to mass every Sunday, and it was part of our life.
Yeah,
and they took it away from me.
And have you been reconciled with the church?
With the church, no. I would go to mass for funerals and weddings. I would go in and light a candle and sit and talk to more so the saints and my mother and what have you.
Yeah.
But regarding priests, and then like the forgiveness bit, like what has happened in the church, it makes me so angry that I'm sure they still the priests and us still perform their duties and keep going on with it.
Yeah, but the divorce is now legal in Ireland. It has been for a long time.
Yes, and you can't go to communion once you're divorced. I got divorced. we were together a long time. I married him 35 years later.
Okay.
I'm divorced now, but I still cannot go to the church because of the laws of the church.
Yeah, but it seems, as somebody said last week, it's not the joining of a church that is the litmus test. It's the leaving of a church. Now, I would have thought you can leave the Catholic Church at any time, and your friends and neighbours and relations don't get phone calls to say don't talk to her or shun her. Whereas in Jehovah's Witness, you are shunned. But like,
but
surely
I was shown by the priest.
Yeah, exactly. But you weren't shown by your fellow Catholics, were you?
No, because there's very far and few between around me, you know. I would have thought that they'd be happy to have families in the church, and that's what I wanted, my family in the church. And it didn't happen, and it wasn't to happen. And to this day, it still doesn't happen.
Okay.
They cannot welcome us.
And you married the man that you were...
I did, after 35 years. And, you know, life goes on, Joe.
Sounds like the church, in terms of the institution of the church, has lost a very good ally, Elizabeth, and a very good member. But kind regards to you and your husband.